But I've got a word this morning. We're going to get in Numbers chapter 11 today. I've got a word that's been placed upon my heart today. And I feel like it's for us right now in the season and this time. And I believe it's for you all today. So I hope you came hungry and thirsty for the word today, because I've got it burning inside of me here this morning. So we're going to jump into Numbers 14, verse 11. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, let's go ahead and do that today. Numbers 14, verse 11. We're going to read through 24. If you're there, tell your neighbor you're different. Amen. It says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.' And Moses said to the Lord, 'The Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them. And you will go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land, which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you've forgiven this people from Egypt until now then. Then the Lord said, I am pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to the fathers, nor shall any of these who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." We're going to stop there this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, that we are called to be different, a different kind of people, to respond differently, to see things differently, God. Lord, that you put in us a different spirit today, God. So I thank you for your word this morning, Jesus. I thank you that we're going to leave change and things being deposited and sparked by your spirit today, because your word is alive and is powerful today. And you are present here this morning today. So we thank you for your word this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I just want to start off with a question. I just want to see a raise of hands if anybody's ever told you that you're different. Some of us are like, every day someone tells me that I'm different. You know, I'm not talking about just weird, but I'm just talking about you're just different. I'm sure some of us get that from time to time. We got that in our lives at some point. But when we hear that, we don't just immediately assume that's a compliment. You're like, I'm different. Really? That's... what do you mean by that? I think it's because there's a pressure to conform, that we want to be like kind of like everybody else, and there's a fear to be different, and we just want to kind of fit in and blend in with everybody else. So we look at everybody else and what everybody else is doing. We look what everybody else is wearing, the clothes that they wear. I tried that once with skinny jeans, and I won't do that again. I got the things on and couldn't get them off. It's like, you want to sit down? No, I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to do this again. You just can't move in the things. Like, so those are not for me. But hairstyles, we look at that, it's like, man, I'm going to do that, because we just want to fit in and do what everybody else is doing and kind of blend in. There's this fear of kind of being different and being like everybody else. But what if I told you today that God, maybe he wants you to be different. Maybe he doesn't want you to be like everybody else today. Maybe he wants something about you that's different from everybody else, that distinguishes you from everybody else. What if he wants you to be different, not like everybody else? Are you okay with being different? I'm learning to be okay by being different, that God is maybe different. I'm not like everybody else, that we're unique and we're different and we don't fit the mold of every single person, but there's something different about each and every one of us. And I think God's called us to be different, to respond differently to things, to have a different attitude, to think differently than the world thinks, to see things from a whole different perspective. We're called to be different. And what God says about his servant Caleb, this is the verse I'm really focusing on today, is verse 24 in Numbers 14. It says, my servant Caleb. He has what? He has a different spirit about him. He has fallen me completely. There's something different about Caleb. He's unique. He's not like a track home that they all look the same. If you try to put him in the mold, he's going to break the mold. There's nobody like him. He thinks differently. He talks differently. He walks differently. He is different. He has a different attitude. One translation says that. He has a different attitude. Caleb is different. And as believers, we are different. As Christians, I think we're one of the most people that's distinguished from everybody else. There should be something different about us as believers, and there is. But before I get to what is different about us, let me kind of first explain what's not different about us and people in the world that are not believers. I say the first thing is probably we're not different in is that we all have issues and we all have problems, and we were all quarantined the past few months. We were all experienced that, unfortunately. There's some things what we're not different in. We are imperfect in some areas. We're all battling through stuff, trying to get better and seeking God's help in certain areas in our lives. There's some things that we're not different in. We're not better, but we are different though. There are some things that are majorly different. Like when you got born again, you became different in that moment. You began a process to become different that day. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. The day you received Jesus in your life, accept him as your Lord and Savior, you became different in that moment. And now you're on a journey of becoming different. It's a process where you're becoming different. You have a different nature on the inside of you, a different DNA on the inside of you. You are in a different kingdom now. He's translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You have a different father now. You have a good, good father. You have a different identity in God now. You have royalty flowing through your veins. You have a new want-tos, new desires, new passions inside of each and every one. You are definitely different. That's why when we got saved, maybe some of us maybe didn't like church, and then all of a sudden we love church and we want to be the first people that went to church. Or maybe you didn't really like reading the Bible, and all of a sudden after that, it's like, I just can't put down the Bible. I just got to eat this thing up. Now you want to share it with everybody else. Or maybe you didn't like to serve before, but now you're looking for every opportunity to serve. Or maybe you didn't really care for people at times, but now you just love people. You want to give everybody a hug, and it's like something happened on the inside of me. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. You met Jesus. You got born again. You became a new creation. And in that moment, you became different. You're different. We're different. Are you okay with being different? And I think how we're different than the world is we respond differently. When this whole pandemic hit a few months ago, we didn't panic, but we prayed. Didn't worry, but we worshiped. We responded differently to it all. We didn't get into fear because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. We got a whole different spirit. We didn't get into worry or into anxiety, but we got in faith. We got in prayer. We got in the word, begin to believe God, get in his presence. We responded differently to this whole thing. While everybody's in fear, freaking out, we're like, no, we know who our God is. He is faithful. He's going to hold our hand and see us through this thing. He's not going to let this thing overtake us. We have faith and we have confidence in our God. We didn't respond the same. We think differently. We fix our thoughts completely different. We fix our thoughts on whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. We have different attitudes. I can have joy, I can have hope, and I can be thankful at every day of my life because we're focusing and thinking on different things. Even though things look like they're getting worse and worse, we get better and better in the process because the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We fix our thoughts differently. When things get worse, we get better because God is working on the inside of us in our spirit. When we get in difficult situations and trials and obstacles and adversity, know that God is working on the inside of you, that he's shaping you, that he's forming you, that he's sculpting you, that he's fashioning you to make you more into his image. We're different. We're very much different. When people curse us, we bless them. That doesn't make sense in the natural. It's like, what? I can't do that. Really? But we're not like everybody else. The Bible says if they curse you, you bless them. If they hate you, you love them. Love your enemies. We are completely different. And when the world gives up, we're still giving God praise. If it's through a storm or the pandemic, whatever's going on, everybody else is like, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're like, we know what's going to happen. God's going to lead us. God's going to guide us. God's going to direct us. He won't let us be overtaken in this thing. This is the heart of somebody that's been born again. This is the heart of a believer. This is the heart of somebody that is different. You're different, and you're supposed to be different. And when I look throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you see people throughout the scriptures that are different. Daniel was somebody who was different. It says this in Daniel 6:3. It says, this man, Daniel, distinguished himself among the other officials and satraps because there was an extraordinary spirit in him. The king thought about putting him in charge of the whole kingdom. So Daniel distinguished himself. In other words, there's something that separated himself from everybody else. He was different. And if anybody had a challenge of being different, it was Daniel, because he was taken into foreign captivity, forced to learn customs in a foreign language. They tried to change his diet. They tried to change his name. They tried to change everything about him, but Daniel wouldn't change. He was different. And there came a time where the king had ordered for them not to pray to any other god, but only to pray to the king himself. He's like, I'm different. You guys can pray to whoever you're going to pray to, the king, but I'm going to worship God in this moment because I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. Daniel was different. The Apostle Paul was very much different. This guy was hardcore. I love the Apostle Paul. He went through a lot of stuff. It says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, talking about the Apostle Paul. He says this. This is what he says. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul went through all this stuff. He went through like shipwrecks. He was stripped naked. He preached the gospel and they beat him up, left him for dead. I mean, this guy went through stuff. He didn't stop. I would stop after the first one, like, God, you know what? I think I'm good right here. I think we're going to maybe go a different direction here. It's like he just kept going. And you know what he called it? He called it a light affliction. A light affliction. I'm like, that is not a light affliction. I mean, if you're having a bad day, just refer to the Apostle Paul and you'll feel better about your day. It's not so bad after all. Somebody's always got it worse, really. So it's much worse for the Apostle Paul. But he calls it a light affliction. And I think if Apostle Paul was living in our world today with the pandemic and all this stuff going on, he'd be like, this is just a light affliction, just for a moment. How was he able to do that? It's because he had an eternal mindset, not just a temporary mindset. He had a whole different perspective. He had a whole different attitude. He saw things differently than everybody else. That's why he could say, it's just a light affliction. Apostle Paul was different. So many people throughout the Bible were different. God says about Caleb, my servant, he has a different spirit. He follows me completely. There's nobody like him. He walks differently, talks differently. He follows me completely. To give us some context, and when God says this about Caleb, what happens, if you know the Old Testament, is that God had raised up Moses to liberate the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt. We know the story, Pharaoh let my people go. And Moses was raised up and he liberates the children of Israel out of slavery and he takes them through the Red Sea. God does some supernatural stuff. He parts the Red Sea and their enemy is following them. And once they cross over, God crashes it back down. They drown in the Red Sea. And then they get to the wilderness and God doesn't leave them, but he leads them by cloud by day and fire by night and raining food down from heaven and bringing water out of a rock when they're thirsty. But before they get to the promised land, God's like, Moses, I've got a mission for you. We've got a mission. I want you to take 12 men, and I want you to have them go into the promised land, spy it out, and bring back a report of what they find out. So that's what he does. He takes one man from each tribe, and these were like the baddest of the baddest guys. I mean, this was like the Israelite SEALs. I mean, they were some tough guys. You just didn't pick anybody for this job. I mean, I'm sure they were pretty tough, and, you know, you just didn't pick your average Joe for this, but they got together, these 12 guys, and Joshua and Caleb were a part of the 12. So they go into enemy territory, and this was not a cakewalk. This was a 40-day mission, I believe. And it wasn't a stroll, but it was a covert mission. They were trying to collect intel and see what was going on without being discovered and remain hidden. And here they are. They get into the promised land, and they see it, and it's like it's everything God said it was. It's fertile. It's prosperous. It's a great and amazing land. They spy it out, and they come back, and they give the report, and it says there was division between the spies of what they reported, between 10 and between 2. 10 of them saw the fertile land. They saw the prosperous land. They saw the amazing great land, but all they could see, they were preoccupied with a problem and they couldn't see the promise. They saw the enemy in the land. That's all they could see because there was an enemy there when they were spying it out. All they could see was the enemy and the adversary, and they couldn't remember what God said. So they said this, like, we can't go in. We can't do it. We're going to be overtaken. They're going to take us out. They're too strong. They're too powerful, too mighty. That's what they said. But Joshua and Caleb were there. They were like, hold on a minute. That's not what God said. God said, we can have this. This is what he's promised to us. We're going to believe what God says. We're going to follow him fully and completely. This is what God said we can have, and we're going to go this direction. Caleb didn't let the majority to be the test when making the right decisions. If you're a person that sometimes are just like, you know what is everybody doing? What is everybody else saying? I'm just going to do that. Sometimes that's the wrong response. Because sometimes God needs people that are different. And the majority sometimes is not saying what God is saying. But he's looking for people to say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If the popular opinion is not going that way and not saying and doing what God is saying, we're going to do what you say. We're going to focus on your word. We're going to follow you completely. As for us, we're going to serve you. They didn't let the majority be the test to make the right decision in that moment. And Caleb didn't allow what he saw to keep him from what he knew. He didn't allow what he saw keep him from what he knew. He was different. He saw things differently. He saw the same exact thing as the other 10 spies saw. He saw the enemy. He saw the army. He saw their might. He saw their strength. But immediately when he saw that, he remembered what God had said and who God is and his word. I wish we could get to a place. I wish I could get to a place what no matter what we see wouldn't affect what God has told us. You know, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, but there's a lot of unknowns. But I do know this, that God is faithful, that God won't leave us, that God won't forsake us, that God will lead us through, that God will work all things for good according to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes you've got to get to a place where I see this, but I know that. I see the enemy over there, but I know that God is greater than the enemy. I see the virus, but I know that God is my healer. I see maybe the unemployment rate, but I know that God is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. I see there's confusion everywhere right now, but I know that God is not a God of confusion. I see maybe the winds blowing and the storms raging, but I know that my God's a God of peace. I might be in the middle of a battle right now, but I know that my God will lead me to victory. You've got to get to a place where I see one thing, but know another. That's what Caleb did. He didn't allow what he saw keep him from what he knew. He was different. He saw things differently. He had a different attitude. And this is what it says in Numbers 14:11. It says, the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people ignore me? How long will they not believe me in spite of the miracles I have done among them? They're walking this out. Caleb's with them, and God says, hey, listen, you were a slave, and I brought you out. You had an enemy, and I drowned them. You needed food, and I brought it down from heaven. You needed water, and I brought it forth from a walk. You needed lead, and I led you supernaturally. I sustained you. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your shoes didn't wear out. And God's like, how long? How long? They didn't get it. And some people never get it. I want to get it. There was a whole generation that didn't get it. And God's like, you haven't believed me. You haven't followed me. You haven't been obedient. You haven't listened to my voice. And because of that, I'm going to let this generation die in the wilderness. And I'm going to raise up a whole nother generation that's going to believe on me and follow me and hear my voice. But before that, he says, but my servant Caleb, He has a different spirit. He thinks differently. There's something different about him than from everybody else. He stands out from the crowd. He's not like the rest of them. And there's a whole generation that's not going to make it in. But he says, Caleb and Joshua, those are my boys. They believe on me. They follow me completely. They have a whole different attitude. He says, I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to bring them into the promise, and they're going to see it for themselves. What made Caleb different, I think, a part of it was that he followed God completely. That's what it says. He followed him fully. I believe what God is looking for right now is people that think differently, that think with faith, that walk with trust and confidence in God. Say, you know what? We're going to follow you completely. We're going to follow you fully with everything that we have. We're going to trust you. We're going to believe you no matter what we see, no matter what we hear. We're going to take you at your word and believe you and stand on it. He's looking for people that will surrender and follow after him completely. And that's what they did. I want to say this. Don't ever let what you see keep you from what God said. That was Caleb. He didn't let what he saw keep him from what God said. You know, we're seeing a lot of stuff right now. We're seeing an economy that's been flailing, going back up. We're seeing a virus that's been spread all over the world. We're seeing confusion. We're seeing leaders biting one another. But don't let what you see keep you from what God said. God has given us so many promises. So many promises. We're going to hold on to his word and every word that he has spoken to us. Don't let what you see keep you from what God said. You want to know what made Caleb different? What made Caleb different is that he was able to look with faith. He was able to look through the eyes of faith. I could just see the 12 spies coming together and they're spying out the enemy territory and the promised land. And I'm sure the 10 were like having a conversation like, man, these guys are so big. We're going to lose. They're going to take us out. We're just grasshoppers in our own eyes. And I believe Joshua and Caleb had a whole different conversation going. Because they were looking differently. They were looking with faith. I believe Caleb was like, hey, Josh, you see that enemy over there? That's where I'm going to put my house. You see that giant over there? Caleb was probably told Joshua that. And Josh was like, yeah, by God's strength, by God's power, that enemy over there, that's where I'm going to put my garden. And Caleb was probably like, you know what? When God gives us the ultimate victory, see that tree over there? I'm going to put a swing up. And that's where my kids are going to swing. They were looking with faith. They could see it while the other 10 were just stuck on the enemy. That's all they could see. And they were like, that's where my house is going to be. That's where I'm going to live. They were looking completely differently than everybody else. And God says, my servant Caleb, he's different. Thinks different. So I'm going to bring him into the land. They're going to see him for himself. They're going to see this because he's different. He had a different attitude. I believe this, if you can see what God says, it's yours. If you can see what God says, it's yours. Caleb could see it. God told the Israelites, he said, this promised land is yours. It's yours. But all they could see was the enemy. They couldn't see it. But Caleb and Joshua were thinking differently. They could see it by faith. And if you can see it by faith, believe it, then it's yours. It's yours by faith. I think when we're different, God treats us differently. And God's not any respecter of persons. He's not. But the blessing is available to everybody. The promise has been made available to everybody. But not everybody appropriates it. Not everybody believes on it. It's those who walk by faith and believe on it and are different and talk differently, think differently, act differently, that they see God move powerfully in their lives. It's those who see the power of God move. I think he treats us differently, not because we're better, but because we've taken his promises and we're holding on to his promises and we're appropriating to our lives. And Caleb, when he got to the end of his life, he was 85 years old when he actually received the promise. The promise came to fulfillment of the promised land. He spent the last 5 years fighting for it. He was 40 when God gave him the promise. He spent 45 years waiting on that promise to come to fulfillment. The last five, he had to fight enemies to take it. That's a long time. 45 years. I'd probably give it about after two. I'm like, God, I don't know if this is going to work out. I think I heard you wrong here. But Caleb, he believed the word of God. He believed the word of the Lord. God gave him a promise and he believed it. There was something different about Caleb that I think needs to be different about us. I mean, he woke up every day. He walked with these people in the wilderness. All a bunch of complainers, a bunch of whiners who didn't trust and believe God and didn't change his heart. There's something different on the inside of him that needs to be different about us. He wasn't like everybody else. And he came to the age of 85 years old. I'm sure he said, you know what, this body's a little more squeaky than what it used to be. But he said these words, I'll take this mountain, basically. Give me this mountain. He was stronger than ever at 85 in his faith. And he received that promise because he believed God. The whole generation died out, but Caleb, he received the promise of God because he was different. He acted differently. He thought differently. He responded to things differently. He had a whole different spirit about him. And I think God's called us to be different. Respond differently. Think differently. We are different because God's made us a new creation. Caleb was so different. And I think that's what God is looking out of us, to follow him completely, to follow him fully, to be men and women of God and say, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you with everything that we have. We're different. We're different. God's called us to be different. And I'm learning to be okay with being different.